When Julius and Antoninus reached the shore, it was raining and cold.
Here, son. Let me help you.
I'm okay. Where's Paul?
I don't know. I don't see him. I don't see anybody.
Wait, Father. Here comes someone.
Hello. You there. Hello.
Are you all right?
Yes. Yes, who are you?
My name is Vitalius. This is my wife, Livia.
We have a home nearby.
I am Julius, a centurion of the Roman Imperial Guard. This is my son, Antoninus.
We saw your ship run aground and have picked up others of your party.
Come, share our food and shelter.
Thank you. Can you make it, son?
Yes, Father. But where are we?
You and your group have landed on the island of Malta.
Vitalius and Livia took Julius and Antoninus to a shelter on their property. There they found the entire ship's company, including...
Paul!
Antoninus! Julius! How good to see you both.
Centurion! Praise be to the gods. We had thought you lost and...
How many are missing, Suetonius?
Well, none, sir.
None? Not even among the prisoners?
All are present and accounted for. No one has perished and no one has run away.
Just as Paul said, Father.
Uh-huh.
Come, you two, and warm yourselves. Paul, will you get some more wood, please?
Of course.
Paul gathered up a pile of brushwood. But as he put it on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him deeply on the hand.
Ah! Paul! Oh,
it's all right, everyone. Into the fire with you, serpent.
But he bit you.
Don't worry.
Paul, let me see it.
Luke, it's nothing to be alarmed about. We're all very tired. I suggest we get some rest.
But, Paul...
I'll see you in the morning, Antoninus.
Good night, everyone. Paul, wait.
I agree with him, Antoninus. Is there a place where he can sleep?
Oh, yes, of course. Vitalius, don't just stand there. Show the young man to his bed.
Yes, right this way.
I'll be there shortly, Antoninus. Go on now.
Yes, Father.
Centurion, why was Paul on the ship?
He was a prisoner. Going to Rome to appear before Caesar.
On what charge?
Teaching subversive doctrines, that sort of thing. Why?
Oh, a revolutionary. Probably a murderer as well. He escaped from the sea, but justice has not allowed him to live.
What are you talking about?
That snake was poisonous. Paul will not survive the night.
Julius spent a troubled night. He knew his son admired Paul, and now Paul would die. He would have to help Antoninus through this, teach him to accept death like a Roman should. So the next morning, when he awoke, he went to his son.
Antoninus? Antoninus?
Good morning, Father.
Son, there is something I need to tell you about Paul.
What about me, Julius?
Paul! You're all right.
Yes, very refreshed after a good night's sleep.
What did you want to tell me, Father?
You! Why aren't you dead?
Livia, Vitalius.
Dead? What are you talking about?
The snake that bit Paul last night was poisonous.
We expected him to suddenly fall dead when he was bitten.
Or at least to swell up and die during the night.
But here you are, alive!
A god! He is a god on
no.
your knees, Livia!
No!
Oh, forgive us, oh great god!
Listen to me. Vitalius, Livia, no, do not bow before me. Please, rise. I'm not a god, but a servant of the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. I'm on a mission for them, and nothing can or will stand in the way of my completing that mission.
News of Paul's miracle spread across the island like wildfire. And soon Publius, the governor of Malta, sent word that he would like to meet Paul and invited all of them to his estate.
Welcome, good friends and Romans, welcome. Which one of you is Paul?
I am.
Vitalius and Livia tell me you are a miracle worker.
Only God works miracles. I am merely the instrument of his will.
I see. But do you think your God could find it in his will to heal a member of my household?
Who is it?
My father. He has been sick in bed for several days, suffering with fever and stomach ailments. Will you see him?
Of course. Take me to him.
Paul went to the father's room and knelt beside his bed. He prayed and placed his hands on the father. Instantly, the old man was healed.
I'm healed! I'm healed!
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, thank you.
The praise goes to the Lord God.
Quickly, bring food and drink for our guests. It is a time for celebration.
Father, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it amazing? Have you ever seen anything like it?
No. No, I haven't.
Come, my Roman friends, this is no time for long faces. My father has been healed.
They stayed at Publius' house, and he treated them very hospitably. And when news of what Paul had done spread, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. The people gave them many honors, and they spent the winter months there. All seemed well, except to Julius. Publius noticed the centurion's concern.
Julius!
Oh, hello, Publius. I was just admiring your view.
How can one look at something so beautiful and still be so unhappy?
If you mean me, I'm not unhappy. I'm concerned about my men and my prisoners.
Yes, one prisoner in particular, I'll wager. Paul?
How did you know?
I'm a father myself. I've seen your son's devotion to him these 3 months and your reaction.
I must admit this is not what I had in mind when I brought Antoninus on this journey. I want my son to become a Roman soldier, Publius, not a follower of some strange religion started by a dead Jewish carpenter.
Antoninus has told me of the miracles that have occurred on your voyage. After witnessing such things, can Paul and his God be so bad?
Miracles? They were nothing more than good fortune. Paul's friend Luke is a doctor. His medicine must have helped Paul survive the serpent bite and helped cure your father.
I'm afraid I disagree with you on that.
No matter. It's beside the point. Paul is a prisoner of Rome, and as a Roman centurion, I can view him in no other way. I thank you for your hospitality, Publius, but we must leave.
Are you sure, my friend? Why not stay a while longer? You may find the answer to your concerns.
My answer lies in Rome. Paul may have a mission, but so do I. Not just to deliver a prisoner, but to show my son real power. The power of Caesar, God on earth.
Julius hired another Alexandrian ship. Publius outfitted the ship, furnishing the travelers with the supplies they needed. And so the voyage continued. They put in at the port of Syracuse and stayed 3 days. From there, they set sail and arrived at Regium. 2 days later, they reached Puteoli. And finally, they came to Rome.
Well, Antoninus, what do you think of the center of the known world? Is it not grand?
Yes, Father. The Forum, the Marketplace, the Colosseum. They're more incredible than I'd imagined.
Yes.
And wasn't it wonderful how many of Paul's friends came out to meet and encourage him at the Forum of Appius?
Paul, 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 I cannot believe you're in the greatest city in the world and all you can think about is that prisoner.
Father, you've always taught me that a Roman values courage and devotion. Paul has shown the greatest courage and devotion to his faith. Isn't that worth admiring?
Yes, but there's something a Roman values even more. Power. Courage and devotion are meaningless without the power to back them up. And you will see power, my son. Real power. I have been summoned by Nero. We are going to meet Caesar.
I can't! What do you mean I can't build my temple there, Tertullinus?
Great Nero, that property belongs to some of the oldest and finest families in Rome, and the adjoining sites already contain the temples of your fathers, Augustus and Claudius.
So?
If we were to follow your plans, we would have to tear them all down.
So?
Great Caesar, it simply isn't possible. There are many other sites available.
I don't want any other sites. I want my temple built there. And it will be built there, one way or another. You'll see.
Pardon, O Caesar, but you have an appointment. One of your centurions is waiting outside with a message from Governor Festus in Judea.
Oh, Festus. I like Festus. He always enjoyed listening to my poems. All right, show in the centurion.
Show in this centurion.
Great Caesar! I am Julius Aurelius, a centurion of your imperial guard in Caesarea.
This is Antoninus, my son.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, what did you bring me from Festus?
The governor sends you a prisoner.
A prisoner? Is that all?
Yes, mighty one.
Oh. Well, then who is this prisoner?
His name is Paul. He's a Jew and a Roman citizen who is the leader of a religious sect called Christianity.
And why is he here?
According to this letter from Governor Festus, the man Paul has been charged with sedition. But as a Roman, he has appealed his case to you, O Caesar.
Oh, has he? Says here he works miracles. What is he, a magician?
Actually, he...
No, sir. His god performs the miracles through him.
That's enough, Antoninus.
No, no. Let him speak.
Great one, he is just a boy.
Let him speak. Go on, Antoninus. Tell me about the miracles of Paul's god.
Well, they're wonderful, sir. First, he told Paul that we would be in a shipwreck, but that no one would be lost. And it happened. Then Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake, but his god kept him from dying. Then Paul's god healed a bunch of people on the island of Malta, including Governor Publius's father.
Oh, yes. This god sounds very powerful.
Oh, he is great, Caesar. He is.
Would you like to see something even more powerful?
More powerful?
Yes. Do you know what it is?
What?
Me. So, Paul wants to appeal his case before me, eh? Where is he, Julius?
Waiting for you outside.
Good. Confine him.
Caesar?
Take him to his quarters and lock him up. Let him receive visitors, but do not allow him to leave.
For how long, O Nero?
Until I decide to see him. Let's see if his all-powerful god can get him an audience with the great Caesar.
Paul was allowed to live by himself. Julius, who was put in charge of a century of soldiers in Rome, assigned a man to guard Paul. 2 years went by. Paul remained in his house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God, taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, and wrote letters to the many churches he had started.
Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, to those of you in Rome whom God loves, to the church of God in Corinth, who have been made holy, to the churches in Galatia, God's holy people in Ephesus, to the brothers in Philippi, to the church in Thessalonica, to the holy brothers and sisters in Colossae.
But as time passed, people forgot about Paul, and many believers deserted him entirely, especially after his encounter with the Jewish Christians in Rome.
Brothers! Brothers, please!
We believe in Jesus, Paul, but you would have us believe that he is greater than Moses and the law.
He is, Drusus. He is the fulfillment of the law. You no longer need the law to be saved. Through Jesus, we are one with God.
You speak heresy, Paul! We will not hear any more! Come, brothers, let us leave this place! Yes.
The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through the prophet Isaiah, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For these people have become stubborn. They don't hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them."
We will not listen, Paul!
And God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen!
Julius witnessed Paul's popularity and decline. Soon Paul was completely alone, except for Luke and Antoninus. After his brief encounter with Nero, Antoninus showed virtually no interest in Caesar or Rome. Instead, he spent more and more time with Paul, serving him in whatever way he needed and listening to him teach about Jesus at every opportunity. And it wasn't long before Antoninus took on a brand new life.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God?
I do. And I make him Lord of my life.
The angels in heaven are rejoicing, Antoninus. Welcome.
Yes, Antoninus became a Christian, much to his father's chagrin. And yet, despite his displeasure, Julius couldn't help but be amazed. Though Paul had been deserted and almost completely forgotten, he still hoped to meet with Nero. During this time, Julius rose through the ranks to become centurion of the palace guard. And so he not only saw Paul's peace, hope, and courage in the face of great trial, he also witnessed the disastrous result of Nero's unchecked power.
Wine! More wine!
What do you mean the treasury is nearly empty? There is plenty of wealth in Rome. Simply tax the people more. What do I care what the people want? He's my friend. Of course he'll make a good senator. The people no longer have need of gods. They have me. I shall save them and enlighten them as I choose, for I have eliminated good and evil.
Then one day, the great arena of Rome caught on fire. It spread quickly, devouring everything in its path. It raged for 5 days, devastating the city. Thousands were killed in the fire and the panic to escape. Because of his past evils, word spread that Nero had started the fire, ordering that Rome be burnt to the ground. An angry mob gathered at the palace gates looking for revenge.
But why are they upset, Titulinus? Now I will give them a superb gift. A new Rome, built in my image. An idol to my greatness.
I do not think the citizens want your gift, Caesar. They're demanding that the party responsible for the blaze be brought to justice.
Ungrateful wretches! They're against me. They always have been. Julius, go out, talk to them, restore order.
My men are doing all they can, O Nero. But a mob does not listen to reason. They want to hear from their Caesar.
I have nothing to tell them!
Except the truth.
Truth? You sound like one of the mob, Julius. As though you believe I started the fire.
Great Caesar, surely whoever started the fire is no friend of Rome. Only her enemies would do such a thing.
Yes, her enemies. Enemies. Such as the leader of a subversive religious sect.
Religious sect?
Yes. If the people want someone to blame, then I'll give them someone.
Who, O Great One?
That prisoner Julius brought me from Festus.
Paul?
That's the one. Paul, the leader of the Christians.
No, Caesar. He is innocent.
Innocent? A man who leads a subversive sect? They follow a dead carpenter who claimed to be God. There is room for only one God in Rome. Me. Isn't that right, Titulinus?
Yes, Divine One.
Julius! I order you to round up these Christians and put them into prison. Then bring Paul to me.
Great Caesar!
You have your orders, Julius! Carry them out.
Yes, Caesar.
Paul?
Yes, Luke. Yes, let's finish the letter. Do your best to come to me before winter, Timothy. Eubulus sends greetings to you.
Paul!
Antoninus!
Calm down, son.
I can't. The soldiers are rounding up all the Christians. Nero is blaming them for the fire.
What?
That's absurd.
The soldiers, led by my father, they're coming for you. They're going to take you to Nero. You have to leave quickly.
You'll do no such thing.
Father!
Move aside, Antoninus.
No, Father. You can't do this.
I said move aside.
I won't. You'll have to kill me first.
Antoninus, put away your sword and obey your father.
But Paul...
Remember what Jesus said. Those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. Put it away.
Yes, Paul. But he'll take you to Nero.
Isn't that why I'm here? It's what I've been waiting for, hoping for, praying for. I'll gladly go. And you mustn't hate your father. He's only following orders.
You're wrong, Paul. I am not following orders.
I don't understand.
All my life I've believed in the glory and the might and the power of Rome and of Caesar. Greater than any other power, I thought. But this night, I have seen what that kind of power does. There is no glory here, no might. Just injustice, betrayal, and treachery. Your steadfastness and faith during these long years have made me realize that there is a power greater than Rome. The power of your God.
You can know that God, Julius, just as Antoninus does.
Yes, Father. Please?
Perhaps one day you can introduce me to him. But for now, I know I can no longer serve the God of Rome. So, Paul, you are free to go.
Thank you. But I can't.
What?
I will not run away. My mission isn't complete. I must appear before Caesar.
Caesar wants to kill you.
If that is so, then it is so. But the Lord God has told me to bear witness to the gospel before Caesar, and that is what I must do.
Oh, Paul.
No, Antoninus. There's no need to be afraid. We shall meet again, as will all believers, in the presence of our Lord Jesus. Julius, take me to Nero.
History doesn't record the exact date, but tradition holds that Paul did appear before Nero and shared with him the good news of Jesus. For his efforts, he was beheaded on the same day as the Apostle Peter was crucified, both martyrs for the cause of Christ. As a man of conscience, Julius could no longer serve under a barbarian like Nero, and so he resigned from the Imperial Guard. But he did not stop being a soldier. During the Great Persecution, he and Antoninus worked valiantly to smuggle dozens of Christians away from Rome and out of Nero's grasp. All the while, Antoninus kept after his father, gently prodding and urging Julius himself to believe in Christ. Finally, on the very day Nero's reign was overthrown and he ended his life by his own hand, Julius gave himself to a new master, the Lord Jesus. He and Antoninus, like Paul and Peter before them, spent the rest of their lives spreading the word and building the church, fighting the good fight, keeping the faith, finishing the race. And now they wear crowns of glory preserved for them from the foundation of the world. Thanks for joining us once again on Kids Radio. Until next time, goodbye now.
What a remarkable story! It's fun hearing about great men of faith like Paul. It makes me want to go back and read his complete story in the book of Acts. In fact, I think I will, and you should too. It's the best way to find out not only about his life, but why we believe what we believe. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. St. Paul, An Appointment with Caesar was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Mark Drury, and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.